Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
And then the whole crowd started singing this.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
Are you guys sure this is English?
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
It's been our new theme song now for a few months. I just want to make sure the public understands that this was found by the guy that runs this place, Todd Manley. So in case this is cursing in a foreign language, you know it's his fault.
Right.
At 6:12, this is show number 953. Why don't you follow me on Twitter? It's good for you. At Cochran Show. Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. And, of course, at the end of the show, or at any point during the show, you go, oh, I just missed that segment. Just seconds after that segment is over, podcasts go up, and you can hear it all over again in all its glory. Sometimes what I'll do is right after a really good segment, I'll just ignore the rest of the show and just listen to the podcast. That's how good they are.
You can multitask like that, huh?
That explains why I'll say something to you and...
And I'm glazed over?
I see.
Steve's not listening.
Don't seem to hear me.
Never.
James Lipton from Inside the Actors Studio.
I love that show.
He'll be on today.
Favorite swear word?
Yeah, there's a the is it the Pierrot question? It's a French name, a famous Frenchman. You know the famous French.
No.
It's Le Beau from Hogan's Heroes. The famous questionnaire that he asks everybody. So we'll get those questions out, and we will ask the staff that before Lipton comes on.
Yeah, good. Okay? I love those questions.
And favorite swear word, obviously you have to adjust a little bit because we're on the air.
Right. Let me just say
I think we all know what mine is.
I don't.
I don't either.
No, it's Trump.
It's Trump.
Trump. Trump. Yeah, it's Trump.
As a verb or an adjective? I forget it.
Oh, you could use it in many ways. That's why it's very, very, very versatile. We'll do the top six at six. Let's do that, say, I don't know, now good?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
We are proud to present the top six at six each day as a way for you to appear much smarter when you get to work or wherever you're going this morning, because you can go, hey, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? I didn't hear about it from the Cochran Show. I just know this stuff. So here's your cheat sheet. Justice Department rules are cracking down on sanctuary cities, this being one of them. They will no longer give cities grant money unless they give federal immigration authorities access to jails and provide advance notice when someone is in the country illegally and is about to be released. So if you're going to stake out jails as an INS agent, who's going to cover the rest of the stuff? Because those people are already locked up, right?
Right.
It seems like that would be a processing thing you could do over a period of time. If you're catching the bad guys that are out there, I would hope you would be able to process the ones that are already locked up while you look for the bad guys that are in the neighborhoods and at various other places.
Right. And what's dangerous...
And by the way, bad guys.
Oh, completely.
Not people that own a restaurant in Indiana, then everybody loves them. Bad guys.
No, completely. What's dangerous, though, about this is that cities who want the grant money used to only have to show that they weren't keeping the police from communicating with the immigration agents, and they use this money for bulletproof vests, body cams. That's why Chicago was able to get all the body cams by the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dangerous when you're playing games with federal money that could be used for policing.
And the feds have the right to do this, but then Mayor Rahm Emanuel has a right to get together with the mayors of Los Angeles and New York and fight it.
Right, absolutely.
Has there been a word from the mayor since Sessions and Company brought this up yesterday?
No comment yet from
okay.
the mayor.
Okay.
Sure he'll have some things to say today, though, after the Trump speech yesterday.
Let's find out next. comprehensive plan to replace the Affordable Care Act fell far short of the votes it needed in the Senate on Tuesday night. So we go to the Votorama. What's the Votorama? It's like the lightning round of a game show. This is where all the members of the Senate get to throw amendments up against the wall and see what sticks. Mm-hmm. Now, the Republicans control the flow of the amendments that are heard, so I don't know how many Dems will actually get their amendments shot out of the amendment cannon. But then there's a Votorama, which is sort of like if you think standing up in front and reading Dr. Seuss books and, you know, the filibuster. It's a filibuster with voting. And then when the Senate finally gets sick of all the voting, they'll call an end to it, and then they'll have a vote on a health care bill. Once a health care bill of some sort is passed, I mean, this will go back to the House, and then there'll be a committee between the House and the Senate to decide what the final bill is going to look like. They'll send it to the president for his signature or his veto.
Right. But the whole problem with – there's a zillion problems with this, but the Republicans still don't have an agreement on a repeal bill that they can ultimately pass to get rid of – to replace Obamacare. Mm-hmm. That's problem number one. There's
repeal
nothing.
And replace Trump.
There you go.
Yeah. I probably shouldn't swear at this hour.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Should yeah, it's a little early.
The end of a Senate subcommittee hearing on Tuesday morning, the chairman, Susan Collins of Maine, and was talking to Jack Reed, senator from Rhode Island. They had microphones on, and they were discussing the federal budget and the president's lack of understanding of it. After Reed praised Collins' handling of the hearing and made some nice small talk, she then lamented the administration's handling of how they're spending money. It's important simply because it reaffirms what we thought we knew, and that's the members of his own party don't have confidence that he understands what he's doing. Now, again, as president of the United States, you don't have to know everything. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't know everything. It's impossible. But you have to surround yourself with people who know the stuff you don't know, and also understand that you can get answers to anything mm-hmm. and not act like you know everything or not pay attention during meetings. These are all the things we've already seen from this president. Susan Collins and, again, the other gentleman, the gentleman is Jack Reed. Mm-hmm. Reed and
of
Collins.
Rhode Island. Yeah.
You want to be Collins or you want to be Reed?
I'll be Collins. I'll be Collins.
This is the conversation.
Okay. So I start with the...
I swear.
Okay. I swear the Office of Management and Budget just went through, and wherever there was grant, they just exit out. With no measurement, no thinking about it, no metrics, no nothing. It's just incredibly irresponsible.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's crazy. I mean, I don't say that lightly. He's kind of a goofy guy.
I'm worried.
Oof. You know this thing? If we don't get a budget deal, we're going to be paralyzed.
I know. Department of Defense is going to be paralyzed. Everybody's going to be paralyzed.
Oh, that's my line, isn't it? The Department of Defense is going to be paralyzed. Everybody's going to be paralyzed. Now you.
I don't think he knows there's a Budget Control Act or anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hot Mic. It's a new segment we're doing mm-hmm. on our show. Give yourself a round of applause. That was Hot Mic.
You should have waited till James Lipton was on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could have judged the performance. Yeah. We didn't even get into the part where they're talking about the guy that challenged Susan Collins to a duel.
To a duel.
And she called him ugly and fat. It's the top six at six, but before we go, give me an update on the special session assembled by the governor today.
Governor is going to call the special session today. Michael Madigan released a statement yesterday. He did not have a news conference, Steve. He released a statement
what?
Saying that he can't believe that the governor is doing this, that all he's wanted to do this whole time is work together to find some sort of a solution. Governor Rauner needs to put politics aside and work with the General Assembly to pass some variants of SB 1 or the education funding bill. That special session begins today, and Rauner says they'll stay there as long as it takes.
How, just a question. How is the governor playing politics by asking the legislature to come back from their break, their 900th break, to finish the bill that Madigan wants action on?
We can ask Mike Madigan that right now.
Let's go to Mike Madigan on this and see if he has any thoughts. Oh, show number 953, where the Democrat who does nothing. Remember, D and Democrat, when it comes to Madigan, means does nothing.
Right.
Other than maintains his own little power base. Or his big power base in this case, and destroys Illinois. Oh, destroy. The D stands for does nothing and destroy. Mike Madigan says the governor's playing politics.
Rauner wants a deal by the end of the month, but you have to remember, too, August 10th is when they need to get that request in for school funding in order, or state funding, to open their doors on time.
Yeah, by the way, what is Madigan doing? How could Madigan be busy?
That's a great question.
Oh, I mean, it takes a lot of time to destroy the state. It seems like he could do it from Springfield faster.
That was a whole paragraph in that release. Oh, about a half a paragraph.
No, those crickets are strangely comforting, though.
620, traffic. Mary, what's up?
Traffic sponsored by CC's First Off in
Hey,
West-
can I tell you something?
Yes.
That top 6 at 6 is brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minimum.
Oh, we thank you.
I want to thank the highly generous, highly entertaining Tom Kelly, who hosted Brian Campbell and me and Pat Brady out at the beautiful Butler National Golf Club yesterday. By the way, I beat those guys. We had a great time. That's a phenomenal course, obviously. But my caddy, Matt, who's not a normal listener of the show, said, "So you take a lot of calls?" I said, "No, not really." So we have an opening in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm just giving you a fair warning now. We'll probably play Shop Talk at some point today.
Yes.
That'll involve you calling in. But I may take listener calls today. I know you're saying, "Steve, what have you lost it?" May take listener calls today.
Steve, what have you lost it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Just, you know, it's a beautiful summer day. Why not?
Hey, Steve, have you lost it?
Why not be like all the other talk show hosts and just kill time by taking calls?
Oh, can we do a survey, too?
No.
You know,
this
like how to keep your man.
This isn't the Eric and Candy show. Okay. But I haven't finally decided if we'll do that. I think we'll take calls after 9 today.
Okay.
I think.
You'll decide like 9:01 or 2?
Yeah, maybe not till 9:05.
Okay.
9:06 or 7. Yeah.
We'll be ready.
But keep in mind now, if you're going to be listening at that hour, the CLTV hour, keep in mind what you might want to say on the show. You know, so when you call in, you'd have a take, as we say in talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
I remember sitting down with a couple of dopes that used to run this place. You got to have a take, man. What's your take? Do you have a take? Have a take. Shut up.
That's Shop Talk,
That's
basically.
That's my take. Shut up. I have a lot of respect for management. I really do. At 626, Dave, how'd the Cubs-White Sox go yesterday? It seemed like there was some near violence and potential riots that could have broken out.
I don't know if I would have called it potential riots, but let's say the things got a little testy.
The ball is supposed to go over the plate to the catcher, isn't
it? Right. It's not supposed to hit the guy who's holding the bat standing next to the plate.
And over 50 guys were hit? Is that accurate?
Not quite that high, but it felt that way for a while.
Who started this?
Well, John Lackey
yes.
hit one batter. And
intentionally?
Then no.
Accidentally?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends upon whom you ask.
What do you think?
I don't think he's trying to hit him because
he slipped.
He hit three batters in the fifth inning, loaded the bases with the Cubs nursing a 4-2 lead. That's not the point in the game, especially after you've lost the day before. You say, okay, how about why don't we hit them to send a message and we'll load the bases and potentially lose our two-run cushion.
He put three straight guys on by hitting?
There weren't three straight. Let's see. He hit the first guy, Abreu, and then a ground out, and then he hit Davidson, and then he kind of just nicked a Yoan Moncada on the hand, and so that loaded the bases.
So did he get bounced?
No.
When did the warning come from the umpire?
The warning came in the bottom of the fifth inning. So Lackey got out of that.
So clearly the umpire didn't think he was trying to hit those guys. He just thought he was wild.
The umpire, Lance Barksdale,
who apparently is legally blind.
Rick Renteria came out and complained.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And which I get because he's seeing his guys go up there. If Lackey just can't find the plate.
Yeah.
You don't want your guys up there sitting ducks either.
Yeah.
But they felt there was no intention at that point. So in the bottom of the inning, Ian Happ of the Cubs comes to the plate, and Chris Beck, the reliever for the White Sox, plunks Happ.
And then the warnings go.
And then both teams are warned, and that was the end of it. And Lackey actually batted. He didn't they didn't hit him. But, you know, so that was the end of it.
Was there any more hitting of players after that?
No, because at that point there would have been automatic ejections.
You know, this is what bores me about baseball now. You know, it wasn't that long ago, Dave. You know, a decade we called the 70s when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You'd hit players, you know, send a message, and you hit a few more, and you send a message, and guys would just bruise, run,
mm-hmm.
play the field, come back and hit again. Now you got players having to call their moms. You wouldn't believe what happened. I got hit. Did you see the guy yesterday? I don't know what you. One of the guys got hit. He pulled out his cell phone. He called his mom from home plate.
Yep.
I'm going to need you to pick me up early. I just got hit.
I mean, come on.
Yep.
It's not the old West anymore that you and I knew. But it is kind of the law of the frontier. You hit a guy, your guy gets hit.
Your guy gets hit, and now you get warned, and then you get thrown out, and nobody can play anymore, and take your ball and go home.
But it is very entertaining.
You know what we need is a nice level-headed explanation by Hawk Harrelson. Listen to this.
That's enough of that, Lackey. That's enough of that BS. You're going to... Okay. Let's see which one of your boys is going to get drilled close. Or maybe you. You can bet your sweet bippy somebody on that team is going to get drilled on the Cubs.
Yeah, we'll have to see the response.
Let's see. When's Lackey hit? Not for a while.
So, Dave, show me on the anatomically correct chart where your sweet bippy is.
My bippy was removed in, I think, 1967.
Oh, they took your bippy?
Yeah, during an episode of Rowan and Martin's
Artie
Laugh
Johnson
In.
Took it. See, I didn't know that because I always thought Dave had a nice bippy.
So, they took it laughing.
Bippy.
So here's the thing. Hawk's all upset.
Yeah.
I happened at that point to listen to Farmer and DJ on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And Ed Farmer went nuts. He said... You've got to get out there. The umpire has to take control of this.
Former
pitcher.
Yeah.
Who had a few guys in his day.
Sure, that's why he's a broadcaster.
And Darren Jackson responded by saying, he's not trying to hit him. You don't hit guys to load the bases when you're up by two runs.
Right. So what you're telling me, Dave, is the broadcasters have gotten soft.
Exactly right.
That's why Ken Harrelson called his mom and said, I'm going to need you to pick me up. I need a ride.
I don't think
And bring my bippy.
And bring my bippy. I'm missing my bippy.
Where's my bippy? 6:31. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
You can bet your sweet bippy.
The Steve Cochran Show.
And I say, hey, look, great schools, smart guy. It's so easy to act presidential. But that's not going to get it done. In fact, I said, it's much easier, by the way, to act presidential than what we're doing here tonight, believe me. And I said, with the exception of the late, great Abraham Lincoln, I can be more presidential than any president that's ever held this office. That I can tell you. It's real easy.
If President Trump were sitting here right now, I would only have one question. I would look him in the eyes, or the one eye, and I'd simply say, what's wrong with you? What does that even mean? Well, how does a crowd... You know why the crowd was applauding? Because he wasn't talking. He had finished this something and he had shut up for a moment. I'm more presidential than any other president other than Abraham Lincoln. I could act that way.
How do you think he'd respond if you asked him that? If you said, what are you thinking?
I don't know. Maybe his head would explode and whatever's inside would come out. I'm guessing it's Skittles. At 6:43. Now, I should be careful here because President Trump could be joining us at any moment.
Right now.
Any moment.
Now?
You know, he calls in occasionally. But before we get to that, we have a very big story. You were mentioning before that it seems that men do most of the grocery shopping.
Yes. Do you do most of your grocery shopping?
Uh-huh. I actually like going grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to go with my mom when I was a kid, you know, and it sort of gets ingrained in you, I think.
Do you have a list or do you go in and just pick up off the shelves what you need?
Both. Okay. Sometimes list, sometimes pick.
Do you ever leave the store and think, oh, I forgot what?
Not until
soup.
I get to the car, get in and put the seatbelt on.
My husband does our grocery shopping.
So that's what the survey said, Mary. The most men are doing it now.
I hate it. I can't stand it.
Well, why do you hate it?
I don't know. I just don't like anything about... Every time I go to the Jewel, you run into 20 people, first of all, that you have to,
maybe you don't have to be the mayor. Maybe you can just keep your head down.
I've lived in this town a long time, so you have to talk to everyone.
Gotta be social.
Yeah, you gotta be social.
Not me. I see people I know at the Jewel go, get out of my way! Where are the Cheerios?
Yeah. move.
But my husband goes at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. He just goes, and he sees all guys there, he says. They're all guys every
first
Saturday
off,
morning.
First off, your husband needs a hobby if he's getting up at 5 a.m. to go grocery shopping. Well, they're open all damn day.
He doesn't like to go, and it's busy.
Here's the reason I bring this up, Andrea and Mary and everybody. A dude got caught in line behind someone who was confused and talking to a checker about how to return something. Mm-hmm. I have an Olympic level ability to pick the wrong line. I mean, there will be a line with one person, and I'll get behind that person in line, and they will then pull out a secret stash of 10,000 coupons they've been saving since they were 9, and then they'll write a check. Mm-hmm. Next door, and then aisle over, like one aisle over. There'll be 15 people deep. They all have one item.
Right.
They're all gone before me. If you ever see me in a grocery store, do not get in line behind me. I will choose the wrong line. There's nothing I suck more at than, well, sprinting, than that line. I can't pick a line. I cannot pick a line. So a guy gets in line behind this guy who's trying to return something, and he live tweeted it because it was taking so long.
Oh, God.
What he live tweeted was a guy trying to return a squash that he thought was cheese.
What? And he went in the line to do this? Why wouldn't he just go up to the service desk?
Well, I think he was not from here, and he was a little confused. Here are the tweets. A very confused man is attempting to return his open diced butternut squash because he thought it was a giant box of cubed cheese.
Oh, my God.
Second tweet. I can't believe this. They're saying he can't because it's open. He's saying it wasn't clearly labeled. Third tweet, there's a giant label that says butternut squash on it. Fourth tweet, they've agreed to refund his money. Now he's demanding they honor 2 pounds of cube cheese for $2.97, as if it was priced like squash.
Oh, jeez.
Fifth tweet, sir, we don't have 2 pound bags of cubed cheese. He then says, I have guests waiting. Fifth, sixth, seventh tweet, whatever it is. He wants to give him 2 pounds of block cheese and have the deli counter slice it into cubes for him along with his refund.
Oh, my God.
See, that's when the person checking him out should be able to take the squash and hit the customer over the head with it.
Right? That's unbelievable.
An employee trying to be helpful half heard the conversation and retrieved a whole butternut squash. Now things are getting worse. The enraged customer who wants the cube cheese says, I don't want rabbit food. I just need some got dang cheese. I wasn't cleaning that up. That's the word that came out. And finally, he's leaving without the cheese and took the squash with him without getting his money back.
Oh, my God. I used to be a checker, and there was nothing more annoying than when people would try and come in and pull a scam like this.
I don't think it's a scam. I think the guy's nuts.
But people would try and come in. One time, they were, you know, people, there's different prices for different items, obviously. They came in with these little orange garage sale stickers, and they put, it said 99 cents on it, and they put that on every single item, meat, shampoo. And I'm going through, and I went, these are not 99 cents. Yes, yes, they're 99 cents. It's a big sale in the back of the store.
Hold on a second. You didn't have the UPC code thing? You had to punch in the price?
Well, for certain items, if it was on sale, they would put the sticker right on top of the barcode. That's how you knew it was a sale.
I thought you were 24 years old.
This was just a few weeks ago.
Isn't there a point where the checker in that situation can say, look, I'd like to help you, but we have all these people waiting, and could you just kindly go over to the service counter?
Go over to the line Steve's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go into that line. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
6:48. The president joins us in just a moment. President Trump is on the phone. So I always get a little, you know, I don't get nervous about stuff, but I always get a little nervous before I pick up the phone. Not because I'm intimidated by the president. It's just, you look down, you see the president's on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
POTUS, line 6. Let's go to the phone now. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
You know, of all the people being investigated for collusion, I'm doing the most tremendous, Steve.
Of all of them? Well, that's tremendous. Listen, we caught some of your rally in Ohio last night. Now, we were just talking about this. You said you could be more presidential than any president, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln. And then you were laughing about being added to Mount Rushmore. So how about we run through the other Mount Rushmore presidents and get your opinion of them? Is that cool?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
All right. George Washington.
Cherry tree killing loser.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Nearsighted loser.
Thomas Jefferson.
Book nerd, science geek loser. And President James Madison after him. let the White House burn on his watch during the War of 1812.
Yeah.
Never installed smoke alarms. Total loser.
Right. It does seem like there's an easy fix. Everybody's talking about your speech to the Boy Scouts. Some people, and I got to say I was one of them, weren't so happy with what you did there. How did you think it went?
Well, first off, I love the Boy Scouts, okay? I really do. It's not for my son, Baron, though. No, the only kind of camping he'll go for is in a 5-star hotel with Wi-Fi and an Xbox.
I understand. Sure, sure.
But I have to tell you, it was tremendous. The jamboree was great. And these future GOP voters, I mean, Boy Scouts were a fantastic crowd. Way bigger crowd than the Girl Scouts, because we all know they're losers.
What?
And, you know, they gave me an honorary merit badge in crowd size, TV ratings, and tying knots, because nobody ties a necktie better than me.
Well, that's fantastic all the way through. Except, what's your problem with the Girl Scouts?
They're losers.
Oh, they're losers. I'm sorry. I should have been paying attention. Okay, listen, you're gonna fire Jeff Sessions, your attorney general. You keep kind of beating him up on Twitter. I mean, this is a guy, he was like a Labrador retriever following you home. There was nobody more loyal.
Now, look, little Jeff Sessions can go choke on a mint julep for all I care. He was a wannabe groupie because he saw how big my rally crowds were, okay? And I only like groupies with cleavage, okay? And no, Chris Christie doesn't count. Look, Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation, and if I ever find out what that means, I'm probably going to be even angrier.
Right.
And if I do have to replace him, there's always my buddy Rudy Giuliani. He's the definition of loyalty. He's so loyal. He's like my own personal Gollum from Lord of the Rings. Big league.
Is the mayor, the former mayor of New York, he doesn't seem to be interested. You know that, right? I mean, you do know that.
I haven't heard from him, but we've reached out. We're gonna talk to him.
So he would be, until then, a loser?
Well, that's to be decided.
Mr. President, your son-in-law Jared spoke to Congress again yesterday. Swears he did not collude with Russia. No, didn't collude with any foreign government. How are we supposed to believe him?
I don't know why everybody's picking on Jared. He's such a good boy. He's a good kid. Now, granted, he looks like the kind of guy who caused some fraternity pledges death by alcohol poisoning. But he does not lie. He doesn't lie. No, really. I have him shot up with sodium pentothal every morning, and then he has to tell me exactly what moves he attempted the night before with the Kama Sutra and Ivanka. Believe me.
It really is. Really,
I got him
creepy,
the leather-bound
sir.
Edition for Hanukkah.
It's really creepy, sir. I know what the... So, all right, I got to ask you about Sean Spicer, because Little Spicy, he exited stage left, I guess, last Friday. Were you really not happy with him? Did he leave on his own? How'd that come down?
You know what? Spicy did a tremendous job. He really did, despite the fact that he has this rare combination of being a total spaz and having a face like a registered sex offender. You know, he'll be incredibly missed at the White House, especially by my youngest son, Baron. You know, Baron never had a dog, so we gave him Spicer for his 11th birthday. We got him spayed and neutered, the whole shot. And we even gave him a speedball of distemper and rabies every afternoon. Such a good boy.
Did Baron walk him? Did he take him outside? Did he take him out on the lawn?
He took him out. He played fetch, chased the stick, the whole bit.
You replaced Spicer with Anthony Scaramucci as the White House as the White House communications director. Now, some say that's against the wishes of several White House staffers and advisors who are up in arms over this. And, once and for all here, is everybody in the White House on the same page?
You know, that's all fake news. They're all on the same page, Steve. It's the page that reads, I agree with President Trump or I'll get fired too.
Okay,
look,
right.
I have to say, Scaramucci is impressive. He really is. No, he's the most Italian guy I've ever met. So Italian that I had Dr. Ben Carson give him 3 vasectomies before I offered him the job. Huge paisan. And he'll have lots of responsibilities, more than just saving Sarah Huckabee Sanders in the press briefings. I mean, is it just me, or does she look like an angry, lobotomized Amish woman with heavy mascara?
Well,
anyway, where was I?
You were talking about Scaramucci.
Mooch, right. He's an amazing guy. And I've also hired his brothers, Nunzio and Carmine the Hair Lip Scaramucci. They're going to be handling our national debt problem. I don't know who owes us money, but Steve, they're going to find out and get it back very, very quickly. Believe me.
I think that's the first thing we agree on. Over the weekend, sir, you tweeted that you have complete power to pardon. Now, be honest. Do you really know how that rule even works?
I know all about it. When I took the office, I signed up for the Friends and Family Pardoning Plan. I can exonerate anyone I want for any reason, and I have unlimited pardoning on nights and weekends.
Well, that's revealing.
It's true.
Listen, you're going to let Special Counsel Robert Mueller do his job without interference. There's talk now that you're directing your attorneys to investigate Mueller's people to discredit the investigation. Are you going to leave him alone, let it go wherever it goes?
You're damn right I'm investigating him. I don't care if he's a special counselor. I don't trust anybody who eats paste and wears a helmet to a board meeting.
That's not... why do I try? Last question, sir. Is it true you're going to be taking a vacation next month, like for 2 weeks at one of your golf clubs?
Well, not that it's any of your business, Steve, but yes, I'm going to my Bedminster Club in New Jersey for a couple weeks in August. I'm going to tell you, I'm not inviting Chris Christie this time. Last time I invited him for 18 holes, somebody harpooned him three times in a water hazard. So embarrassing. But I did sink a 30-foot putt in his blowhole, which was fun. Lots of fun.
Sounds painful and celebratory. All right, listen, we have to run, but thank you for calling. As always, President Trump.
You know what, Steve? I've discovered something. These annoying interviews go a lot faster while I'm tweeting. I'm almost finished. Cochran is a capital S-A-D host. Frowny face emoticon. Later, loser.
Okay, goodbye, sir. It's 6:58. I thought that went well.
Really well.
Yeah, I thought that went well. I thought there was a show of mutual respect between the two of us like we haven't seen before.
Right. Except when he called you a loser at the
frowny
end.
Face emoticon, yeah. Loser said. Back with the news next at 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
All right, 712 now. We continue with show number 953 at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show, podcasts available. Wherever you need them. Later on, we'll be giving out our Social Security numbers. A lot of shows don't do that. We're a full-service operation. Our cell phone numbers, you know, if you need to get a hold of us anytime. The listeners should be able to reach us after hours.
No, after 7:30, though, Dave won't be here, so.
That's right, I forgot. Who's coming in to sit in for you?
Mark Carman will be here.
Okay, great. Dave leaving the show in the middle of the show.
I'm not leaving the show. I'm just stepping out for
will you
moment.
Come back tomorrow, or you got? Do you have another appearance?
It's not an appearance. It's well,
wait,
it
aren't you appearing?
Well,
over
I am, but well, it's
by definition.
This is something I'm doing for the radio station, Steve. You make it sound like I'm going out and freelancing.
You should get a check for this since you're leaving.
Are we doing a going away party?
Thanks, buddy.
Steve,
hey,
wait,
yeah, somebody get a hold of Stephanie. Get Dave a cake
and a costume.
Get Dave a cake. He's leaving at 7:30.
Steve, can I go have breakfast at 8 on
apparently.
Behalf of the station? You want to go?
Somebody's got to be here. Keep the lights on. All right, so let's talk about something that is truly troubling, and that's the fact that even though I don't support in any way, shape, or form what President Trump is doing to his attorney general, the attorney general Sessions wants to crack down on, for instance, pot.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have room. We don't have jails that can support the prison population now. We've got major prison problems with overcrowding in this country. It makes the public less safe because a lot of people are going to have to be turned out. Maybe some of them shouldn't be. And in Cook County, Tony Preckwinkle said everybody gets 10% cut, including, obviously, the Cook County Jail.
Mm-hmm.
What did Tom Dart, the sheriff, say about that?
They had a war of words last week. Tony Preckwinkle saying that she wanted the soda pop tax because that would prevent layoffs, but the soda pop tax didn't go into the sweetened beverage tax, I should call it, didn't go into effect yet. It's still on a stay, so there's kind of a war of words because the sheriff's department did have to cut 10%. He said that it's insane to he called basically her suggestion insane, that management ranks were swelling at the sheriff's office, and says that he is still working with the board to try to finalize spending trims. And they had dueling news conferences last week. He was talking about this new serial murder victim of John Wayne Gacy, and she was talking about efforts to trim the budget to the tune of $68 million. And Dart said he is working with her. Preckwinkle says that he is not.
The staffing problems at the jail seem to be understaffing, not overstaffing.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly all departments need to be looked at. In the meantime, Stephen Hawkins joins us, president of the Coalition for Public Safety. We have 2.2 million people behind bars in this country. Are we number one in the world in that, Stephen?
Steve, thanks for having me on. And yes, we are. We have 25% of the world's prison population. I appreciated what you were saying about the need for reforms. My organization, the Coalition for Public Safety, we represent a coalition, the largest in the country, of both conservatives and progressives. People who might not agree on much else, but all agree that we have to do something to make our justice system more fair and balanced and effective. There's a lot of people who can be released back into society and not have an impact on public safety.
The recidivism rate is higher than you would expect. Tell people what that is.
Sure. You know, we have 95% of everyone in prison is eventually going to get out. But two-thirds of those folks will end up back in prison within 3 years. That has to change. And that's why, Steve, we've seen our prison population go from 500,000 people back in 1980 to now over 2.1 million people incarcerated. So we have entered into a program where we are working with inmates at San Quentin who are about to come out of prison,
right,
who are actually learning how to computer code, and happy to tell your audience about that.
Well, here's the thing, right? You need people that run businesses that are courageous and forward-thinking and, you know, will do their due diligence and be willing to hire an ex-inmate. I mean, these people have skills and training and are hungry to work, and yet so many of them can't find jobs. So without the funds to have specific job training and partnerships that the prison system ought to be developing with businesses, so you could literally outsource these prisoners into jobs, I don't know how that recidivism rate is going to go down.
I couldn't agree more, Steve. So in the Bay Area, and I'm hopeful that we can see this spread more, you know, one of the Silicon Valley venture capitalists, you know, he goes into San Quentin, realizes that these guys have the chops to learn how to learn computer coding.
Right.
He creates, you know, but here's the challenge. Inmates can't get on the Internet in the way that you and I can. So he creates sort of a closed circuit in the prison. These guys learn computer coding. He's teaching them exactly what they would be learning if they were in Silicon Valley, teaching them 21st century skills, Steve. And if we do that effectively, we will be able to keep people from returning to prison because they'll actually be able to secure jobs. So my organization, practicing our values, you know, because we believe in returning citizens being able to be given a chance, and they are assisted citizens. They've paid their debt to society and should be able to become taxpayers and parents and everything that comes with that. So we hired our partnered, I should say, with the program in San Quentin called The Last Mile Works. And what they have done is they've created a new website for us. It's fantastic. It launches today. And it's testament to the fact that the people in prison aren't throwaway individuals. They can be taught valuable skills. And hopefully as these men come out of San Quentin, they'll be able to actually get jobs in the Bay Area using their craft. And my hope is to see more prisons develop this kind of programming that speaks to the needs that we have now in our economy.
Seems like 1871 would be perfect for this. 1871 is a major startup situation here in Chicago, and it seems like they would be perfect for this because the Last Mile Work sounds like a very forward-thinking company trying to do the right thing.
Indeed. Well, I'm hoping someone from 1871 is listening, but we certainly plan to spread the word because this is just an excellent initiative that I think will bear fruit. We know that there are hundreds of thousands of tech jobs, some of which go unfilled because people lack the coding skills. So this is a really great program. And who knows, Steve? Some of these individuals may may have the creative genius to actually invent new tools and software down the road. We never know, and that's what's really incredible about this program.
Steve, is there a provision where they have to keep the job for a certain amount of time, and then there's either a reward or an incentive just to show kind of good faith on both sides, the business worried about maybe the ex-offender not keeping the job or leaving?
You know, Andrea, that will all sort of be, I think, tested over time. I will say this. We had one of the individuals, his name is Steve as well. It's all Steve today.
Yeah, right.
He gets out. Andrea, he got out of San Quentin after being inside for 12 years. He's actually featured in Wired magazine that has a story out. He gets out, sees his family, but is so dedicated to making sure that our website finishes that he spends part of his weekend working on the final tweet.
Oh, good for him.
That's so cool.
You know, yeah, says a lot.
All right, so give me a website people can go to from your perspective to learn more about this and see if there's a Chicago push on this as well.
Sure. Our website is coalitionforpublicsafety.org. Again, coalitionforpublicsafety.org.
Stephen, I appreciate the work you're doing. I think it's really important, and I certainly hope that the Attorney General Sessions, provided he's still employed in the next week, doesn't fall into this this ridiculously outdated trap of trying to put pot smokers in jail. We got enough folks we need to process now, and let's take care of the crimes in a prioritized manner. Right. I appreciate it, Stephen. Thank you.
You got it.
We got the Duck Derby coming up, and every year for the Duck Derby, we have the Duck Ambassador in.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Moreno will join us here in just a little bit.
And we always buy, what do they call it? Not a gaggle. We always buy the big bundle of ducks.
Duck pack?
Duck pack, yeah.
Yeah.
Duck
pack. Quack pack.
Quack pack.
It's a quack pack. Yeah, it's like $100 or something.
Yeah. We'll buy Dave's today because he.
Because Dave won't be here.
I will buy my own, but thank you.
But you're not going to be here, Dave. You're deserting the show.
Well, you could still. That's the whole point. Is you could still buy these. You don't have to be on the show to buy them.
Nice story in Robert Feeder's blog today at robertfeeder.com about our friend Walter Jacobson. Walter Jacobson turns 80 today, or on Friday, I should say, and says he feels great. Here's a quote: "I feel great. I feel particularly wonderfully physically. I go through my same old Walter Meshuggahs about." I'm sure Meshuggahs. Oh, I sound like such a shiksa.
It's like shushing.
Meshuggahs about what I'm doing, but I love what I'm doing. I'm exercising my brain every day, following the craziness in Washington. I'm free to write about it, so I'm feeling great. Jacobson's amazing run in Chicago. This is all from Robert Feeder's blog today. Jacobson's amazing run in Chicago television news, including his iconic partnership with Bill Curtis. Is it Curtis or Meshuggahs?
Curtis.
Oh, it's Curtis? Yeah. Okay. On Channel 2, made him one of the city's most recognizable stars and does commentaries weekly here for 720 WGN. Skippy turns 80 on Friday. There's a woman here who is Todd's right hand in running the place named Stephanie Menendez. I am frightened for what she'll do for Walter on Friday. And here's why. Because 80 is a big birthday.
It is a big birthday. Mm-hmm.
And Stephanie likes nothing better than making everybody happy for their birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it involves staff members dressing up in costumes.
Mm-hmm.
It involves an elaborate cake.
Yeah, I put on a French costume the other day for, I think it was one of our former interns.
So I have a feeling that Cirque du Soleil may be involved Friday, that the Blue Man Group may be by.
The one thing is, Walter's not typically here on Friday, so I don't know if she's going to make him come in for his birthday party.
For a special meeting?
Yeah. But I'm thinking the costumes might be like former presidents or something, you know, like a history type party.
Mount Rushmore?
Oh, yeah.
Mount Rushmore where we had Walter?
Uh-huh.
Or maybe like historic Chicago figures, because he's such a legend in Chicago.
Yeah, or maybe Bill Curtis will come for and hand him the cake.
Oh, I
you know what? Yeah. That could happen.
Some newscasters, mm-hmm. That'd be fun.
That'd be cool if Bill came in and just smashed it right in Walter's face.
No, that would not be.
Well, no, they're pals.
Yeah.
It'll you don't want to smash a cake in an 80-year-old man's viral. Face.
Especially if it's homemade. That's rude.
Yeah, and I know. Can you imagine how popular that clip would be?
That's
Bill
true.
Bill Curtis smashed a cake in Walter's face?
I know Walter and Mike Jacobson are like seatmates in the office. Mm. They are right next to each other. And Walter's
they spent the weekend together in the Dells. Because Mike didn't have a wedding last weekend.
Walter has more energy than any of us combined.
Yeah.
80-year-old spry. Hopping around the office.
We've talked about the election many times off the air, and Walter's on it, man. He's on it.
Totally
completely
is.
On it. There's a lot of 25, 35, and 45-year-olds around here who couldn't tell you anything about what's going on in the city or nationally. Walter doesn't miss a beat. And it's great to have his perspective, literally and figuratively. So anyway, he turns 80 on Friday, and I'd urge you to check out the Robert Feeder blog today for the longer story, robertfeeder.com. Speaking of television, I don't watch America's Got Talent with any regularity, but I'm oddly fascinated by the sad clown guy.
Oh, he's creepy, weird, but yet intriguing.
Well, he's this giant white, and he looks like he's tall.
Mm-hmm.
He's this giant white clown, white face paint, white head to toe, and he comes out, and he's just very sad, very lonely.
Yeah.
So Heidi Klum and, Mel B?
Yes,
Mel B.
And Howie.
Heidi Klum and Mel B, the women on the panel, they're already hooked in because he's sad and he's vulnerable and they feel badly for him.
Yeah.
But then he got Mean Simon and, the dope Howie as well on board.
Uh-huh.
But last night, I didn't see this. I've seen the clip running all morning on the monitors. So I wanted to play a bit of this. You know the song Alone Again, Naturally?
Yes.
This is perfect for your sad clown. Listen to this guy's voice.
When I was young, I never needed anyone, and making love was just for fun. Those days are gone. Living alone.
He's got a phenomenal voice.
I think of all the friends I've known, but when I dial the telephone, nobody's home. All by myself. Don't wanna be all by myself anymore. All by myself.
He's ridiculous.
He's so good.
Josh Groban called, goes, I wish I could sing like that.
Okay, but for those who haven't seen it, don't watch the video because it's a little creepy to me.
It's creepy, but it's weirdly fascinating. Like, you know, I know people that are deathly afraid of clowns.
Yes.
This would really make you afraid of clowns.
Oh, completely. But he's got a great voice.
He's
right.
A sad clown that sings like Josh Groban.
Don't watch the video. Don't do it.
Bizarre.
Just listen to the song.
That's America's Got Talent, your clip of the day. You know, the regular feature we do, the clip of the day. It's 7:32. We'll come back. Mark Carman has arrived to replace Dave Ennett, who's deserted the program. We'll get to Carms and sports, and we'll get to the big story with Andrea next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Bo, bo, bo-dee-o. Rubber ducky, joy of joys. When I squeeze you, you make noise.
That, of course, is Kermy. Abigail Grace got mad at me Monday. First time.
Uh-oh.
Because we were watching Elmo videos on the phone. And the phone rang. It was her grandmother calling. And interrupted Elmo. And she said, more Elmo, more Elmo. And I said, say hi to your grandmother. And she said, hi, Grandma. Bye, Grandma.
Elmo.
I guess it's tough when you're 19 months old because you think once Elmo disappears from the video, maybe Elmo never comes back.
Right.
Yeah. Poor Elmo. The reason we're talking about Kermy and the tub and the rubber duckies, and it's time once again for the Windy City Rubber Ducky Derby. Jose Moreno is here. This year's esteemed duck ambassador. Mr. Ambassador, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Steve.
Nice to see you, Jose. Tell me about yourself. Pull that microphone right down in front of you, if you would. Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Bensonville, Illinois.
Okay. And big family?
Yeah.
A little bit family.
And you're a bowler?
Yes, I am.
That's your event in the Special Olympics?
Yes.
Yeah, ask him what he rolled a couple of years ago.
Oh, do I even want to know? Because no. I don't think I've hit 100 ever. What'd you roll?
265 oh. last December at state tournament.
265?
Winning the silver medal.
Whoa.
Silver? Mm-hmm. That wasn't a gold?
Just by a little bit.
Holy cow. You guys are good. But it's quite an honor to be the Duck Ambassador. Do you understand your role here?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you have to be the leader. You have to go out. You have to convince people. You're such a swell guy. We should all buy quack packs.
Yeah. You should.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I've brought in your lovely and talented assistant here to tell us about this. Alex McMillan, what's your actual title, Alex?
I am an assistant communications director for Special
Olympics. And lean right into that mic for me as well.
You got it.
And what is a quack pack?
A quack pack is six ducks for $25. So you're getting a deal. Normally they go for $5 a pop.
I think I bought $100 worth of ducks last year.
Yeah, we buy a couple of quack packs.
Is that
yeah.
four quack packs then?
Yes.
All right, so I need four quack packs. Is that a good number or you want me to buy more?
I would prefer you buy a diamond pack for me.
How much is a diamond pack?
About $1,000.
$1,000? The interview better get better soon.
But that actually gets you 240
240 ducks.
Yeah. Yeah, and look at your chances of winning then. They're huge.
Yeah, and what are you giving away, a car or something?
Yeah, this year we're giving away a Chevy Equinox.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a Chevy guy. Ooh. And Jose, I like your sales technique.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just moving. Get me a diamond for a diamond quack pack. Was it called a diamond quack pack?
A diamond quack pack.
All right. So if we want to buy and make sure your team gets credit, what do we do?
Well, you go to www.duckracechicago.com.
Duck Race. I think it's duckrace.com/Chicago, yeah, right?
Duck Race.
And do we search your name then? Is that how it works, Alex?
Yes. You can search my name.
Jose Moreno.
Jose is part of the Darling Ducklings team. So athletes that sell ducks on our behalf for Special Olympics Illinois. They're assembled and called the Darling Ducklings, and they sell upwards of 14,000 ducks every year. They're pretty incredible. So Jose is leading that team this year.
What's the record, do we know?
Ooh, last year I think was probably it. They were right
12,000.
Yeah,
12,000.
We got to beat that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know. Well, Jose with his 265, we can't lose to that number.
I'm going on the site now. This is there's the incredible duck races all over the country. Chicago, I think, has the biggest turnout or sells the most.
We're the second largest in the nation. Yeah, we're
second really to who?
Great.
New York? I'm not sure, actually. I think there's a race in Georgia that beats us out.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, the Atlanta types. No. Well, their weather's better. Generally speaking. Jose, what do you like to do for fun?
Well, I like playing sports.
Okay. Other than bowling, what else do you play?
Well, bocce.
Oh, that's right. You and your brother, the bocce
yeah, he's
boys.
My unified bocce partner.
Okay, got it. You ever bocce, Carmen?
Never bocce'd, Steve. I've bowled. I got that.
There's a skill to bocce, to lawn bowling. Yeah.
What is the skill?
Be good at it.
No, I know, but is there, I mean, are you supposed to throw it high up in the air?
Can speak to this. I think there's more of a touch to it than there is.
Well, yeah. It's more of like a touch, like you throw it up and then see if the polina hits or the white little ball, as I like to call it.
It's not about strength. It's not about power.
No, skill. No.
It's more like a soft 15-foot fadeaway.
It's a good
nothing but net.
Little finesse.
Yeah, finesse it. That's exactly right. Are you in school or out?
Out of school.
All right. What do you do are you working now or are you just botching?
Well, I just support Special Olympics Illinois.
That's a good job to have, my friend.
Thank you.
Yes. All right. So he's going to run around and keep selling these ducks.
Yes.
But we want people to buy these ducks today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So again, what do they do?
Okay. So you're going to go online. You're going to go to chicagoduckrace.com.
Okay.
And from there, we'd love it if everyone bought quack packs.
And a quack pack is very reasonable, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 20. There's a flock. You can buy 24. That's a flock. Or, like you're going to do for Jose, apparently the diamond duck pack, which is 240.
Jay and I will talk.
And then you can buy t-shirts, too. Shirts are always great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's important. Now, when's the actual event?
The actual event is next Thursday, August 3rd. Splashdown's at 1 o'clock, and it's right around here, right at 400 North Michigan.
And what happens is this truckload of ducks. Actually, mm-hmm. It's multiple truckloads, right?
This year we're going to do one, yeah.
Okay, it dumps the ducks in the river, mm-hmm. and the ducks float, and the first duck to cross the finish line, that numbered duck is the winner.
Yes, and Jose is going to pull that duck out of the river.
Come on! Mm-hmm. You get to pull the duck out of the river?
Yes, yep. I do.
Is he going to be on a boat, or is he just going to swim out and get it?
He'll be on a boat.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool gig, dude.
Yeah.
And what's your team name again?
The Darling Ducklings.
Darling Ducklings. Okay, I found it.
Okay, good. How's he doing?
He's doing well. Okay. 84% adopted.
Can I hold the duck?
Yeah.
That you're holding?
Seems personal.
Wow. I got the duck now, Steve. Look at this.
I know you seem like Carm. You seem like the kind of guy that would have a bath toy.
Yes, Steve.
Yes.
I have a duck that I sleep with. Not this duck, but I have Arnold the duck.
Yeah.
It's a stuffed animal.
Yeah, he's not kidding.
No, I'm not. I love Arnold the duck.
Not been great for his relationships.
Would you like Arnold to be in the bed, or would you like him over on the dresser? Is that too awkward?
This is weird.
The woman, let's out you for a second. The woman that you have dated most recently, did you tell her about the duck, or did you find the duck?
I don't think we had a duck discussion. The duck was just there, and the duck was accepted. It's one of the reasons why we're still together, Steve.
Do you think that maybe she goes and tells her friends, I really like him, but he's kind of... duck in
sleep. I have had reactions to the duck. Like, can you get the stuffed animal out of the bed?
Yeah.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah. Now, Alex, you can tell me.
but I like this duck.
Alex, when you and your girlfriends go out and talk about that, those type of conversations come up, right? Where a girl might say, is this weird? Do your boyfriends have ducks?
That might come up, yeah.
Yeah. Jose, no duck.
No, I'm the ducks.
Ducks belong in the river.
Jose's inching farther and farther away from Carm.
Yes.
He doesn't want
to. Congratulations.
He really is.
He really is.
Yeah, he is. See? I told you.
Congratulations, Mr. Ambassador. I know you're doing a bang-up job, and we're going to help support it.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. So, again, go to Duck Race Chicago. I did it as well, Jose. DuckRace.com/Chicago. The event is next Thursday. Buy as many ducks as you can. We've already linked that to our website at WGNRadio.com. Good to meet you, pal.
Good to meet you, too.
Alex, nice work.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Stay away from Carmen on the way out.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Time now for Dean Richards live from Channel 9. Brought to you by Ravinia and the CSO Concert Series. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning to you.
How's your girlfriend?
Oh, she's okay.
Halle Berry is at Channel 9 this morning. What's she promoting? Okay.
It's not as meaningful a relationship knowing that you and her were publicly linked several times before you dumped her.
So you're concerned that you can't get the Cochran off of Halle Berry at this point?
I can't get the Cochran stink off of her.
Halle Berry's probably listening to this saying, nice, thanks you guys.
Yeah. What? She's turning around right now.
She's leaving. She's hightailing into the parking lot.
Telling the driver to just go right to O'Hare. Never mind the stop at WGN.
What is she in town for?
She's got a new movie that's coming out August the 4th called Kidnap. And
This is the one where a kid gets kidnapped and she goes nuts, mom, right?
And she goes, it's a parent's worst nightmare, right?
Of course it is.
I think of this all the time when I'm in crowded.
Your mother still thinks of it about places. You.
My mother actually tried to ditch me. I kept finding my way back. That was the deal with that.
So she was going to pay ransom ahead of time to try to get someone to take you?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Pre-ransom.
Yeah. I don't know. A couple times they actually moved the whole family while I was in scout camp. And you know,
I'm pretty sure I lived here.
I come back to the house. It's a whole new family living there. But I keep finding them no matter what they do.
They moved, and then the people after that moved.
Yeah.
She
came in town last night. And she was at the Carasotis Icon Theater in the South Loop and did a nice little red carpet. And we talked to her. You know, she kind of started her career here in Chicago as a model.
Yep.
She was in Second City.
That's where we met.
When she was modeling?
We were both modeling.
You were both modeling then. Uh-huh. What were you modeling?
Calves. I have incredible calves. Mm. I was a calf model.
I did not know that about you.
Oh, sure you didn't.
I did not know.
Hey, Dean, my eyes are up here.
I can't stop looking at his calves.
That's what you guys have to keep saying to Hallie, too.
His calves are captivating.
So she fell in love with my calves, and the rest is history.
Right.
But she wanted to live in L.A., and I'm here. Yeah. I mean, you know, we couldn't make it work.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to make those kind of tough decisions.
I remember once I looked at her and said, oh, Hallie, it's all about Hallie. So what about Steve? What about Steve's needs? And then I realized she wasn't there.
Right.
I was just making up the whole thing.
Right. Talking to a guy at the Billy Goat at the time with Sam Cianis, as it turns out.
What's the temperature like on your planets, by the way?
Well, the sky's always blue.
Uh-huh.
When we come back, what would you like to discuss? What's on your list today, since I don't have one in front of me?
Well, I would like to, do you want to hear from Halle Berry? We could
sure.
do that.
Sure, that'd be great.
Paul McCartney also was in Chicago last night.
Yeah. Was last night the big concert?
Last night was one of two big concerts. The other is tonight, but we can also... here's some of that. Donald Trump blocks a major celebrity on Twitter. I'll tell you about that. Also, we know the release date for Wonder Woman 2. That's a big deal. And Justin Bieber talks about the rumors that came out yesterday that he quit his world tour in order to start a church.
I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say Justin Bieber quit his world tour to start a church.
Well, those were the rumors that came out yesterday, okay. And the aforementioned Biebs discusses those rumors. All that and more is coming up in just a little while.
Just a couple minutes. Now, the other great sex symbol of our time, James Lipton from Inside the Actors Studio, will be with us in about 20 minutes.
He is a hottie.
And I have in front of me the Pivot questionnaire. These are the 10 questions he asks all celebrities, including Halle Berry.
Are you going to ask him those questions?
I'm going to ask you and everyone else on the show the questions now.
All right.
All right, so I'll ask these, and we'll just everybody can chime in. What is your favorite word? Favorite word, Dean. What is your favorite word?
That we can use on the air?
Yes. Is it money? Is it love?
Boy, that's a hard question, James Lipton.
Favorite word. Andrea, you have a favorite word?
I like the word believe.
Believe. Oh, that's interesting. Believe.
I thought of one.
Okay.
Wheelbarrow.
Come on.
No, he's always been very big on wheelbarrows. He really, really is.
Yep.
Yeah, mine is nap.
Yeah.
No. Nap's one of my favorite words. Steve Grzanich, you have a favorite word?
Curse word?
No.
We're not on it yet.
No, we're not on it yet.
We're not going there
five.
Yet.
Does Steve know that this show is on the air?
Or seven, I should say.
Favorite word?
Yeah.
No, not really.
That's a hard question.
No, not really not is really. Your favorite word.
It is a hard
all
question.
All one word.
Mary, do you have a favorite word?
How about energetic?
Energetic. That's interesting.
Yeah. I wasn't going to do optimistic because, you know, that won't work.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Buying that from you. I do have a favorite curse word when we get to that one.
Yeah, okay. That's number seven.
That's not on the list yet.
Sandberg, do you have a favorite word?
Ease.
Ease?
Mm-hmm.
Ease.
On down the road.
Just ease.
Just ease.
Mm-hmm. Rhymes with
That's
ease.
My mantra word, like when I'm having a difficulty sleeping because I'm thinking about lists and things to get done, I just say
The word mantra is a good one, too, actually.
And have you ever tried saying the word wheelbarrow when you're stressed?
No. Good
point. Wheelbarrow.
Mike Jacobson, yours is wedding?
Yeah.
I do.
Octopus.
Oh, that's a cool word, yeah.
That's a good one. Octopus. All right, what's your least favorite word?
Rural.
Moist.
Wait.
Oh, I hate the word
the
rural.
Rural?
Rural.
It's so hard to say.
For my on-air days, my first job was in country radio in the middle of the stick, so I had to say rural a lot.
I don't.
Not an easy word.
It's
tough.
Rural.
It's tough.
Rural.
Oh, please.
It's country.
You people.
I can't say it either. I avoid it on every track.
Who said moist?
Marianne.
Marianne and I said it at the same time.
You like both have the same word that you don't like, moist.
How do you describe a delicious cake?
Yeah.
Delicious.
I don't know.
Why
say
don't
moist.
Like moist.
I don't want to say it again.
Say it.
Moist.
Why don't you like moist? Hey, Miss Positive on the seventh floor. Why don't you like moist?
It's just a bleh word. I mean, you think about it, you're like, ugh.
I agree, Mary. Oh, yeah, I agree.
Well, it's not pus.
Like you're
by the way, that would be my
awful,
least
awful.
Favorite word.
Pus. It's humid. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't
moist.
Like.
Ugh.
If I can use a contraction, I would say I don't like the word can't.
Can't.
Like, and especially in a whiny way, like I can't.
Never say you can't.
All right, what turns you on, Dean? Wheelbarrows?
Well, that's, yes. And saying can't.
Dean likes it. Dean likes a challenge.
Nothing gets me going like someone who says I can't.
Yes?
Yeah, an unloaded dishwasher.
Wow.
Wait, that turns you on or off?
If I wake up to an unloaded dishwasher.
Then what turns her off would be a loaded dishwasher.
Right.
Yes. I'm still working on my least favorite word, which I think is splinter.
Splinter, okay, I'll put that down. I was going to say what turns me on would be Halle Berry loading a dishwasher.
Ah.
Oh.
Or eating Garrett's popcorn. Yeah.
Hey, Steve, pre-rinse it.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah, now it's getting weird. What sound or noise do you love? I like babies laughing.
I would say laughter.
I like babies laughing.
People laughing, too.
You don't like babies laughing?
Me? No, I do.
Oh, I thought you said you didn't.
No, I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, babies laughing. There's nothing funnier than a baby laughing. What's your least...
Or baby swearing is also good.
Baby swearing. Cursing. Remember the cursing babies? That was a great act.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The sound of thunderstorms and summer rain. I love that.
That's
Oh, fun. Rain on the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That's a good one.
A sound or noise that you hate. Well, I mean, there's the obvious ones.
I hate sirens.
Gas attack on an airplane.
Well, or a crying baby on an airplane.
Sirens,
On a chalkboard. Or nails on a chalkboard.
That's true.
Do they still have chalkboards?
I don't think so. I think they're all erase boards.
Yeah.
Cicadas. Ugh.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt? Well, in my case, the Joffrey Ballet. I mean, that's where I started. I'd like to go back there.
I thought you were going
to
say sprinter.
I was a pretty good produce man back in the day.
You just wanted to squeeze the tomatoes, you freak.
Well, who doesn't?
Oh, my God.
Profession you like to try? Anyone?
Meteorologist.
Weatherman.
I'd be a golf course superintendent.
Or a police officer.
A superintendent?
Yeah, I want to do the physical work, yeah.
The agronomy?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that?
Well, I appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah,
well, so and then everyone would say when the course looks so good, God, she is so good at this.
You'd hire the right people. I want to be a rock star.
Oh, there you go. What profession would you least like to do? I'd have to go with anything after 10 a.m. You know, because at 10, I'm out.
Or anything in the heat outside.
Yeah, that's probably true. Dean, anything you'd like not to do?
I don't think I would like to be those guys that work in the street, you know, like putting tar in the street.
Oh, yeah.
Or the guys that clean black the porta potties.
Black toppers, yeah.
Oh, the porta potty guys.
Yeah, I feel sorry for those guys.
I'd be a teacher. Ugh.
Oh, God,
that seems awful. All day long with kids, 20 of them looking at you.
Actually, class
isn't
has
that
now
what
is,
you already do?
Class has now is like 31.
That's awful. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates? Welcome would be good. Here's what you don't want to hear. Wrong address.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Elevator going down.
Or nothing look has up. Calories.
I thought you'd be taller. That'd be a good one.
How about, like, you did good? You did well.
Yeah, you did good.
Oh, I don't need a grade.
How do you pronounce your
last name? I just want to get in.
But it's God.
How do you pronounce your last name?
Yes, wait. I'm sorry. Here's what you don't want. God with a clipboard going, right. Sorry, you're not on the list.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't want him to say, about Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah. He's already in there.
Yeah, your locker's right next to
him. He's at the bar.
Wow, what if God's there and Kevin Matheny's next to him? That's a problem.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. And then finally, your favorite curse word of, I've already mentioned mine, mine's Trump.
You're right. I got to go with, you know, the big one, F.
The F word? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody else? Anything other than the F word for you people? You filthy-mouthed people?
No, we don't swear.
Yeah. Grzanich's favorite curse word is, what do you mean there's no more cake?
All right.
No more
cake,
right?
Yeah. Where's the food?
All right, well, there you go. I felt like we've learned nothing, and I'm glad we took the time to do it. So congratulations to us, and we'll come back with the list previously mentioned and all that inside show business stuff and the First Church of Justin Bieber. Can I get an amen? Apparently not.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh,
oh, oh. All right, back to Dean. Let's fly through this stuff now. Wonder Woman 2. Why is there a release date? They haven't even started filming yet.
They have not started filming, but they did confirm that it's definitely going to happen, and they've already targeted the date December of 2019. If you want to mark this on your calendar, Andrea, especially, because I know you're looking forward, December 13th, 2019 to be exact. Gal Gadot is definitely in. They're still negotiating with the director of the movie, Patty Jenkins. Don't know if Chris Pine is going to be back, but I'd be pretty shocked if he was not.
The Trump Twitter feed active again this morning. He just announced moments ago that transgender people will not be allowed in the military anymore because of the cost and distraction. So here we are. He annoys more people by 8:30 than the rest of us do all day. But he also blocked a celebrity of note.
Chrissy Teigen, John Legend's wife, uh-huh. model. has been relentless. She is extremely anti-Trump. And I don't know why yesterday. I don't know what, you know, finally is the straw that breaks the president's back. But he blocked her on the Twitter feed. They had had some back and forth, you know, the president tweeting the things that he tweets. And then she responds and responded with, after 9 years of hating Donald J. Trump, telling him, LOL, no one likes you, apparently was the final straw. And he blocked her. She can no longer see his feed, you know, because it's pretty impossible to see what Donald Trump is tweeting.
Yes. Yes, it's a mystery.
Very quiet.
There's
very
no way.
Shy.
There's no way we can know.
Yeah, no, he's very shy and demure about sharing his opinions about things. So.
The First Church of Justin Bieber, is that why he canceled his tour?
Apparently not. There were some rumors to that effect yesterday. That Bieber canceled the tour because he has gotten involved with a church that is called, let me see here, the Hillsong Church. And he's become very good friends with its leader, Carl Lentz. There were reports that Bieber was about to become the, you know, what Tom Cruise is to Scientology, that Bieber was going to be to this church. I don't know anything about this church, but he was asked about it yesterday when the rumors were popping up yesterday, and he said that it's not true, that he's not starting his own church. He did not quit the tour for religious reasons. He says that he's just burnt out. So get back in line with all the rest of us heathens.
Michael Phelps did not race a real shark.
That's very true.
Michael Phelps raced a animatronic shark, and some people didn't know, and they're upset with him.
Well, it was all part of the Shark Week thing that they had heavily promoted on the Discovery Channel. That, you know, can the, you know, one of the world's greatest swimmers beat a shark in a head-to-head competition? I was really looking forward to this because I figure about halfway down the lane, the shark's going to, you know, jump over into his lane and eat him. Which, you know, now you got a Discovery special that's worth watching.
That's Shark Week.
That's Shark Week to me. But, you know, the whole thing was just so hyped up, and I don't think anyone took it too seriously. Some people on social media, you know, because I was jokingly saying that I felt ripped off, that I demand a refund, but people are taking it so seriously. It's just, you know, we get excited about these Sharknados and Shark Weeks because they're so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I did think that they were actually going to figure out some way to have Phelps and a shark. You know, go to a race. And
as opposed to a robot shark.
As opposed to
a
robot
shark. I'm suing him anyway because they stole my bit from years ago when I raced a sloth and lost by two sloth lengths.
Yeah, I remember that. That was, you're still kind of, it's like peeling the scab off, isn't it, a little bit?
It's like peeling the sloth off.
It's like peeling the sloth off a little bit.
What I'm saying. Yeah. All morning long, you can see video of Paul McCartney and Halle Berry with Dean. Halle Berry will rejoin Dean. In a few minutes, in a civil ceremony. We'll see you and
hear
you
tomorrow. We'll see how civil it is.
Okay. Halle Berry's people are texting us right now, by the way, saying the TRO is in place. So you, both of you.
When you give her a hug, just tell her no hard feelings. Steve says hi.
During the break, one of our producers came up to me, you know, because when I'm doing this segment, you know, I'm like, I have the headphones on. I'm like, I'm not in TV world at all. I'm paying attention to what's going on here. But she's motioning to me like something terrible went on. I took the headphones off, and she goes, "The bird is flying."
Meaning what? That she's in the house?
Well, I don't know if it means she's in the house or...
Or she's left?
If she's in Northwest Indiana, and I'm not sure what that means.
And by the way, how many of your producers are CIA agents? The bird is flying.
I don't know when we started using code. It's like... I've been here since 1991. That's the first time I ever heard code for one of our guests.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck, bird keeper. It's 8:34. We'll come back and just a couple of minutes here. James Lipton will join us right after the big story, talking about the latest Trump Twitter nonsense on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
The Actors Studio is proud to welcome one of its most gifted members, Robin Williams.
For those of us who have not been blessed with your gift, how do you explain the mental reflexes? Are you thinking faster than the rest of us? What the hell is going on?
Damn it, man, what's going on with you? What? Jim, I'm a doctor, not a busboy. I don't know why.
What is it that does this thing to you? Try to explain yourself.
I want to be accepted. You like me. You really like me.
No, it's not that. No, it's not that. I can be trained. I can actually show you how intelligent I am. I can use a word like delicatessen and know what it means.
Nah, I miss Robin Williams. In a world of meaningless television, and sadly it becomes more thick with meaningless shows every day, well, one of the reasons I love Inside the Actors Studio is it's not just a way to see some of your favorite stars on stage talking about themselves. It's insight you don't get anywhere else. And a really appreciative gathering of students with stars in their eyes who want to be able to display their artistic talents and are very appreciative of what James Lipton and what the show does. I hope that's a fair introduction to you, James. We've talked before, but I really love this show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Steve.
And 20 Emmy nominations later. How about that?
How about that? Look, 23 years ago, I would not have been able to predict that the following would occur. 20 Emmy nominations, making us the fifth most nominated primetime series in the history of broadcast television.
Right.
We've won the Emmy for Outstanding Informational Series. I won the Critics' Choice Award for Best Host. And Inside the Actors Studios in 94 million homes on Bravo in America, 125 countries, the second longest running series in cable television history. I would not have been able to predict it, and it is has given me confidence that I actually, 23 years ago, had a very good idea. And the reason I'm calling around the country today is because I think for the second time in my life, I've had another. And it's called, it's called Measies, and I'm very excited about it. May I talk about it a little
bit? Well, absolutely. No, I'm definitely going to ask you about it. But and I am a fellow knee pain sufferer, my brother.
Are you?
So yes, I am. So I get it, and I'm going to get it.
Look, if you, Steve, do you know? Want to know something amazing? Every single broadcast that I'm doing this morning, somebody on that other end of the line from me says, I have that problem. And if you have it, you know that doctors and chiropractors for years, for decades, had only one solution. That was to sleep with a pillow between your knees.
Right.
Have you ever heard of it?
Well, it's unbelievably ridiculous because I've even gone so far as to Velcro strap a small pillow to my knee.
All right. Because the pillow migrates during the night. You have two problems,
exactly.
The pillow and the pain.
Exactly.
Okay, several years ago, as I lay awake, I had a revelation. What if the pillow, and you tried to do that crudely, obviously,
sure,
with Velcro, whatever. What if it was attached to me, moving with me, cushioning my knee, no matter what position sleep took me to? That launched a three-year odyssey during which I brought my epiphany to a medical panel whose mission was to verify that every successive prototype of Measies met two criteria. It's perfectly safe, and it does precisely what it's designed to do. And those development years with breakthrough materials and cutting-edge techniques, the result was Measies, which we appropriately spell KNEESEASE. It's not a sedative or a painkiller or a miracle cure for arthritis. It requires no doctor's prescription. You hear me? And it has no side effects. It's a pain averter.
And you'll sleep. You have to get quality sleep. Quality sleep is the key to better health and the key to healing. Your knees will feel better during the day.
Measies will give it back to you. Listen to what Dr. Daniel Richman, who's the director of pain management at New York's famed Hospital for Special Surgery, has said. After evaluating every progressive development of Measies, I can say it does exactly what it's designed to do, and if there were anything like it anywhere in the world, I would know there isn't. There are 52 million people who share this problem of arthritis with you and me.
Right.
And if anyone hearing my voice now, and this includes you and is specific for you, Steve, would like to learn more about Measies, all you have to do is go to Measies.com.
I'm looking at the website right now.
That's it. KNEESEASE.com.
A true pain averter.
It is a pain averter. If you can't wait to discard the pillow, you can order Measies directly at 800-281-5219. That's 800-281.
Listen, it's a couple of clicks away. I can literally order it while we're talking.
Order it, and I promise you, it changed my life.
Well, I thank you for inventing it.
Anyone, Thank you very much. I feel very... Look, I'm so excited about this because this is the first thing that I've done in my life that is designed to do good. It's not an entertainment. It is designed to help people.
Yeah,
and
it's nice.
It is helping. And I promise you that it will help you. Let me know how you like it.
Well, you know what? I will. I absolutely will. I'll reach out and give you feedback because I'm looking forward to getting it. Knees Ease, E-A-S-E.
Knees Ease.
.com.
K-N-E-E-S-E-A-S-E.com. One word.
By the way, we just took the Pivot questionnaire again. We've done this on the show before. And the answers seem to change as your life changes, as you get older. Do you find that to be true?
Not very much.
Oh, really?
My answers have remained pretty much the same.
Well, did any actor, any performer bring you emotion, answer one of these questions to the point where maybe you choked up a little bit? And if so, who was it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to the Pivot questionnaire?
Yeah.
Oh, many did. I've choked up many times. And but I edit the show, so you never see me choke up, so I stay on the person. You don't see me going to pieces. But the person who choked me up the most, of course, was Bradley Cooper, because he was our student.
Right.
And he was the first one to come back and sit in that chair opposite me. That, the two of us just sat there crying like babies. It was ridiculous.
Well, I love the clips, too, because you had clips of him asking a question. I can't remember. Who did he ask a question of as a student? Was it De Niro?
De Niro.
And then to be sitting in the chair and to be questioned as one of the great stars of today. Well, that had to be a thrill for you as well.
Oh, it was. That was the person I've been waiting for since I started the show 23 years ago.
I'm going to give the last question to Andrea because I know you have to run, and we appreciate your time whenever you have time. And then I'll remind everybody again, it's knees.
Do let me know how you feel about it.
Oh, I absolutely will. Andrea.
James.
Isn't it strange?
Huge fan.
Every single, pardon me?
No, I was just actually, go ahead. No, you were going to talk about
it. You just say every single interviewer has got knee problems. Uh-huh. Well, I think that's why I think you've hit on something.
It's true.
52 million people with knee problems, and Kneesies is a solution to sleeping at night. You'll throw the pillow away, and you'll sleep through the night, and Kneesies will give you the peace of mind and the peace of knees. No pun intended, that you've been looking for.
James, you've worked with and taught some of the greatest actors of our time. Who of this young generation that's coming up now are you really looking at saying that they're going to be the next De Niro or the next Streep?
I don't know because I'm not that aware of the young generation coming up as I should be. The reason being that I'm constantly doing research on the people who are on the show, and they are, for the most part, people who are not just arriving on the scene.
Yeah.
It is an honor to talk to you. Bravo. They should call it the Knees Ease Network after all these years. But congratulations on the success. KneesEase.com. We'll let you run to others, but thank you for being on.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm very proud of this and I'm very happy to announce it to the world today on your show and others. I feel like finally I'm giving back.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And I think this is a good break for you in Chicago.
I love Chicago. I spent a lot of my life in Chicago.
It's a great town for you. Absolutely. There you go. That's James Lipton. The James Lipton. Hey, I just met you. This is crazy. But here's my number. So call me maybe. 9:12 now. Ask the show anything. We'll get to Pat in Lake Geneva in just a second. But Mark Carmen's here for Dave Ennett. And Mark, you said before the top of the hour, you had a couple of passes for this one-day-only camp on Monday with Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs. This is a great prize. Get to meet Rizzo, take a picture with him, live with him for 3 weeks.
Learn how to play baseball.
No, you don't live with him. But you go to his camp. And it's first graders to eighth graders, right?
First grade, eighth grade, the ballpark at Rosemont, which is in Rosemont.
All right. Now, what's the first thing I said when we brought this up?
You said that you wanted to speak to an actual child between the grades of 1 and 8, Steve.
Yeah, because here's what happens. Parents get excited and go, I'm going to win this for my kid. Well, maybe your kid doesn't want to go. You know, so that's why I'm saying I want to talk to the kid. And we're going to do that right now, starting with Maureen and Maureen's child, Ryder. Let's go here. Good morning. Is this Maureen or Ryder?
Ryder and Maureen.
And Maureen, too.
Hi, Mom.
Good morning.
Nice job waking up your kid. Ryder, were you sleeping?
No.
Is that true, Mom? He wasn't sleeping?
He wasn't. He got up about an hour ago.
All right. Nice job, Ryder. Are you a baseball player?
Yes.
What position do you play?
Like third base pitcher.
Nice. And you good hitter, good fielder, both?
A little bit of each. If he doesn't say so himself, yes.
Yes. And what do you like to play more? You like to hit more or you like to play defense?
Defense.
Nice. I like that.
Wow.
We get him signed and get him signed right away. Well, first off, you got a cool name, Ryder. What's your last name?
Raya, R-A-Y-A.
Ryder, Raya. Come on. Can you hear that coming out of Patty's mouth? I can. And who's your favorite Cub?
Rizzo O'Brien.
How about that? It's going to meet Anthony Rizzo. Have you met him before?
Yes.
Where'd you meet him before?
The Cubs convention.
Okay. Well, that was a quickie. This will give you a little more up close and personal. So thanks to your mom, you're a winner. I want you to be nice to your mom. Never roll your eyes at her and tell her how much you love her all the time, Ryder. Do we have a deal?
Yep.
All right. He's a good kid, Mom. Hold the line. That's Maureen and Ryder.
That's going to be awesome.
All right, let's get one more in here. Let's go to Alec and Teddy. Alec, are you on the phone?
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm great. Gosh, I know a guy named Alec, but I'm sure this isn't you. And Teddy is your son.
Hi.
Teddy, what's up, man?
Nothing. I just woke up.
What? I can't believe your father would have woken you up. This is outrageous. Outrageous.
I've been up really late. So.
I know. Teddy, I mean, you're 8 years old. You're just trying to sleep, and suddenly your dad's coming in, smacking you on the head. Hey, you're going to meet Anthony Rizzo. Teddy, is Anthony Rizzo amongst your favorite Cubs?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And are you a baseball player?
I'm only in Little League.
Yeah, me too. And are you, what position do you play?
I really want to play pitcher, okay. And mostly I'm in right or left outfield.
Yeah, so you're an outfielder now. Well, you got to learn the game. You got to learn the game. Alec, were you a good baseball player?
Yeah, I was a pretty good third baseman.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now, are you a pretty good hitter. If I give this to you, are you going to take Teddy to meet Anthony Rizzo?
I am. I'm going to try and get the day off work and go with him to this camp. This is an incredible opportunity.
Well, that's what you get for listening to Steve Cochran Show. However, this is not going to be a George Costanza situation, is it, where you run over the kids because something's on fire in the trash can?
I'm really excited.
Okay. But I don't need you to be really more excited than your son, Teddy, the 8-year-old. This is about Teddy, not about you, Alec.
Right. No, I got that.
Are we clear?
We're clear.
Yep.
All right, Teddy, if your dad gets more time with Anthony Rizzo than you, I want you to call me.
Okay.
All right, Teddy. Don't go.
I don't know your number.
We'll get it for you.
It's 312.
Yeah, we'll get it for you. All right, hold the line, both of you. Yes, you're going. You're a winner. Alec and Teddy and Maureen and Ryder, they're all winners.
It's going to be great.
That's very nice. Thank you, Carms, for doing that.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Steve.
Teddy going, I was sleeping.
I know, right?
Someone woke me up.
But think, this is once in a lifetime. You know, your kid will get to play with Anthony Rizzo.
I thought you were going to tell Teddy to yell at his coach and tell him that he should be pitching.
No, I like the fact that he goes, mostly I'm in the outfield.
He talks so cute.
I love that. All right, I said ask us anything. Okay, now, we only have time probably for this first call, but then we'll come back and take at least one more call. Uh-oh. And then I'll be overwhelmed because I've taken two calls. Pat is from Geneva. Let's go to Pat. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you? Great, thank you.
And do you have a question or a comment? We don't normally take a lot of calls.
I'm sure you'll answer it.
All right, go ahead.
My question is, since the city of Chicago and the county are so broke, why don't they legalize video gaming?
Oh, I think you're exactly right. I think you're exactly right. I agree with you 1,000.
Business, and we, you know, the amount of money the state gets, the payouts, 35 for the owner, 35 for the terminal operator, 30 for the state. And in their kindness, they kick back 5% to the town and or unincorporated. There's no reason. There's 80-plus places just in unincorporated Cook County alone, not counting the city of Chicago. They got the votes in Chicago, but Rahm says not on his watch.
I know.
City Council has the votes.
I understand that, but I know some lobbyists for gaming, and you and I both know the politics behind this is a nature of overprotecting people of, you know, against themselves. If you choose to spend money on video gaming, you ought to be able to choose to do it. And you can't have it both ways. And hold the line, Pat. I appreciate the call. The other thing is, if you're going to put a casino in Chicago,
right,
why wouldn't you allow video gaming ahead of that?
No, absolutely. And that's been the age-old question, too. We've talked with Orion about this, too.
Put it in and tax it.
Used to be on the gaming board. Those licenses are so coveted. And for the longest time, it was right. All about politics and payola and who would pay the most to get the license.
But everybody's going, oh, but if you allow video gaming,
I know.
Then it's the end of society.
I know.
People, if people want to gamble, they're going to gamble.
Look how successful Horseshoe is. And people just go right over to take the Skyway, right over to Indiana.
Money goes right to Indiana.
I foresee that we will have some sort of a gambling facility in Chicago in, say, the next 5 years.
Gambling is self-controlled. You have to have some sort of discipline. If you have a problem with gambling, you're going to have a problem with gambling. In Rosemont, you've got that casino that went in years ago. Remember all the hand-wringing over the Rosemont casino?
Sure.
Oh, no, Rosemont will never be the same.
Right.
Unless you go to the Rosemont Casino, you barely notice it's there. It's just part of what they built up in Rosemont.
Well, look at Joliet. 20 years ago, the economic boom in Joliet from the Harrahs and the Empress, and again, that was 20 plus
years ago. Well, I would argue that the casino in downtown Aurora probably did the same thing.
Sure.
Helped save downtown Aurora. Mm-hmm.
You could also put some money into whatever programs, Gamblers Anonymous, or whatever you want to do to support people.
Which the casinos do.
Right. So,
yeah.
Right.
It's just strategically where to put it now, because at one point they had talked about putting it at Navy Pier. But
the casino you're talking about.
Yeah, they can't do that now because kids, and there's all kinds of restrictions. Right. McCormick Place would be another option. So it's just a question of where to put it.
And I think it would end up probably at McCormick.
I think so, too.
But in the meantime, video gaming, yes, they should allow video gaming. The caller is exactly right. I didn't expect such a... You know, that was a good call.
Tough question.
So this is the type of thing that might make me take more calls.
You going to take any more now?
An engaged listener that... I tend to agree with. I mean, come on.
Can we get a legalize it call next? I'd like to hear your take on that, Steve.
It's 9:20. No, listen, I don't smoke weed. I've never smoked weed. You don't smoke weed.
No, I've
never.
You never
smoke weed.
No.
This state should legalize weed tomorrow.
I agree.
See, I don't know.
But why?
I'm not a fan of it in any way, shape, or form, unless it's prescribed for a specific medical condition.
Well, it should be.
Because it gets too abused.
Then why allow booze? Then shut down booze.
Oh, that's different. Please.
Booze statistics.
Shh. How many times? Bite your tongue, mister.
How many times do you hear people having accidents because they're high on weed?
No. Didn't you describe it one time as if it were legal and someone's driving? No, you go. No, you.
Guess the thing.
No.
Right. Who's more gentle than four people smoking pot at a four-way stop? They're all there until the police come to arrest them. Hey, did you bring Pringles? 921. Phone number is 312-981-7200. We come back. More calls on anything. And one of the rare instances where you can call into this show. 312-981-7200 on 720 WGN. We'll go back to phone calls in just a second. I was looking at my giant head on CLTV, and I've got the sunglass tan lines. Through the sunglasses tan lines?
Oh, you do? Hey.
And in the back of my head, in one of the, you know, I don't know if you know, I have a bald spot that covers most of my head.
Where? Oh.
And in the back of my head here, I've got the open hat area sunburn situation.
That's pretty obvious.
Remember my idea. And I don't know what Larry... Is Larry drinking in his office? I gave Larry Wirt this idea a long time ago. You take my head and the considerable size of my head, and you put station advertising on top of it. Mm-hmm. And then I tilt my head a little bit forward every 10 seconds and a little bit back every 10 seconds, and three different billboard ads would appear.
Well, I could argue, too, now it's color-coded. So you can have, you know, some sort of a business where the title would pop. Because it's the bottom of your head's now darker. So you know what I mean?
You could do product placement on my head.
Right.
There's a lot of possibilities. Let's go back to the calls. It's Sue in Deerfield. Good morning, Sue. How are you?
Good morning.
Right. So what is your question, answer, or comment?
My comment regarding legalization of recreational marijuana in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we all know how green our state would become out of our debt. But this is definitely not a solution, and I say this because, you know, we teach our kids with the DARE program in so many schools in fifth grade.
not to go this path, not to try drugs or alcohol. And yet, a few, we would completely contradict this message, as we already are, with the legalization in two states. But even with medicinal use, I think that, you know, I'm not going to go down that line. But I have a good friend that I know I'll have to tell your producer, you got to get on the show.
Okay.
I asked her once, can you give me 5 minutes and tell me, this medical doctor who specializes in this,
right,
what I should tell my kid, why they shouldn't try it.
Right.
And she said, I don't need 5 minutes. I will tell you in 30 seconds. And I can't recite it the way she did, but she says the pot today is not the pot that people may have smoked 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, no, it's dangerous. So but see, that's why, and listen, I got no skin in this game. I don't own a dispensary. I don't smoke it. I've never tried it. I'm talking about legalizing, regulating, and taxing it. In other words, a real-world solution to an obvious problem that's out there, and that is to make it safer for people who are going to use it anyway and actually have the state make money off it. I'm not advocating it. I don't think it's the greatest thing that could ever come down the road, but I think we're completely in the dark if we don't realize that this is something that could be done. Because, again, I go back to the same thing. And I have maybe two glasses of wine a year. I don't necessarily drink either. But that doesn't make me better than anybody. But if we're going to make booze legal and see DUIs and see people killed on the road all the time, you know, why are we any better by continuing to allow that?
Well, I think the data in Colorado shows that since the legalization, I believe the number of traffic deaths associated with the use of recreational marijuana is up.
Is that true? I don't know that.
Dangerous. I believe it is. I've heard that somewhere. I could be.
No, we've got our Cracker Jack research team getting after it right now. Listen, Sue, I love that you listen, and I totally respect your opinion on this. And I'm not even arguing with you. I'm just saying that that's something that I would consider doing as a way for the state to make money and for it to be regulated and to be safer. And there is no Steve's House of Pot. There is no Steve's Weed Loft.
And there's not Cochran Plumbing either.
No, there's not. Charmaine in Evergreen Park. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am totally terrific.
All right, totally terrific. What's on your mind?
Okay, just a comment. And since Illinois needs money,
mm-hmm,
why not sell fireworks to make some money?
I totally agree with that, too. We have the smartest audience. I completely agree with you. Why are we letting people? Have you heard more fireworks than you heard this year?
No.
And they're all going to Indiana to get them.
Exactly. And Wisconsin and Iowa now legalized it. So that was my comment.
I agree with you a million times over.
See, aren't you glad you're doing this?
Yeah.
Look at you. You're talking to kids. You know.
Bob's in Aurora. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Love your show.
Thanks,
my
buddy.
My suggestion is you ought to put slot machines and video poker at the airports. They're missing a fortune.
No kid. And how about the tracks? The tracks.
I'm telling you, guys, I traveled all over the United States. I've been in all the airports. They're missing a fortune. People are stuck there. They need something to do rather than eat.
Especially at O'Hare.
No, listen, I totally agree. And Bob's right. And you know how you know this? You leave Atlantic City,
mm-hmm,
or you leave, certainly leave Vegas.
Yeah.
People have gone to Vegas. They've gambled. They go to the airport. They gamble some more before they leave town.
Of course. Absolutely. You got to spend your last, you used to spend your last coin.
Every caller was great.
I love how he said rather than eat.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you did this?
I don't know. Can I get those three callers to be the ones that call over and over again? It's 9:31. We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town.
This is not a Sinatra segment, but here in Frank, you know what you need? You need to drive up Lakeshore Drive and hear the summer wind and hear Sinatra singing it while the wind blows through what's left of your hair. I'm talking about me here. Barbara Sinatra, Frank's fourth wife, died this week. She was 90.
Yep.
Beautiful lady. Why are we talking about Frank in Chicago? The guests from Airbnb are here, and Airbnb Experiences are happening in Chicago and just a few cities around the country. And you ought to know about it. Aaron Foster is here, and Ben Bright. Ben, let me start with you. Is it called Airbnb Experiences?
So it's called Airbnb Trips and Experiences.
Trips.
Right. Experiences are the major component of it. So
when you book this, is the idea being I'm going to a city like Chicago, I don't know my way around, I need a place to stay, but it'd also be cool if I had an idea of the fun stuff to do.
Right. It's about authenticity, right? Users on our platform, I mean, some are just looking to save some money, and that's fine.
Right.
But most of them are looking for really a truly authentic experience. They're looking to experience Chicago like we Chicagoans do, right? So it's not just the cookie cutter type touristy stuff that you see in the brochures, but really kind of going beyond the scenes. And an important part of our homes platform, which is obviously what Airbnb is known for, right? You can rent out your room or
sure.
the whole home. And 95% of our listings, our homes here in Chicago, are outside of the loop. They're in areas that really do not have hotels. So again, some people may just be trying to save a few bucks, but a lot of them, you know, they really want to experience the other 76 neighborhoods.
Well, statistically, what do you know about folks? Obviously, downtown, you've got access to a million hotels.
Right.
But statistically, what do you know about folks that are on Airbnb? They're not all millennials, obviously.
They're not. And actually, in terms of hosts, so the people who are actually renting out their room or their home, the fastest growing segment are senior women.
Is that right?
Empty nesters, right? So the kids have grown up. They've left the home, and you got an extra room sitting there. All of a sudden, it's an economic opportunity. So with these guests, and absolutely, we've seen, they're called senior nomads. These people are incredible, where they sold their homes. They're in their mid-60s, and they just travel the world living in Airbnbs. So it's really amazing.
It's pretty cool
and they're looking for that authenticity. So we started, our CEO a few years ago started thinking, okay, how can we take this to the next level beyond the home to really kind of own the entire trip, right? So people come into Chicago, they want to experience Chicago like we get to. So it's not just, you know, seeing the Bean or going to Navy Pier, but going behind the scenes. So that's how this platform Airbnb Trip sort of took root.
Airbnb and Bean.
Like
right?
That.
Right, yeah.
Pop the top on that bad boy and let some people
right,
stay
yeah.
there.
I don't know if it's hollow, but you know, if it is, we could do something with it.
Think how often you have friends come to town, and when my friends come in town, I'll say, you know, you have to rent bikes or get a divvy or take bikes and go on the bike tours of the neighborhoods, and that's what you guys offer too. The bikes and brunch.
Well, but here's the thing, Aaron. Talk about this.
My thing is, you're
hosting this, right?
I am. I have two actual experiences on Airbnb, and I think they're authentically Chicago. Okay, I have the Black Comedy Experience, which I'm opening the door of the South Side to people that of different colors, different ilks.
Right.
I take them to get some.
Don't be afraid, white people.
Exactly.
It's a great
and
night.
It's safe.
right.
I take them to get some rib tips. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
not everybody's
tremendous.
Experienced
that. That's great.
All right. Then also I take them to Brown Sugar Bakery and get them a caramel cupcake in the environment. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's a mouthwatering.
Experience the neighborhood.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the owner of that does have a Navy Pier place, but the money costs a little bit more there.
Sure.
So come out there on 75th Street and taste it in its experience. That's the Black experience.
Now, the comedy experience you're
Black comedy
about.
Experience.
This is where Bernie Mac came from.
It's the same street that
Steve
Bernie Mac
Harvey
went to go have
clubs.
His extra drinks after the show. We sit in that same bar that Michael Jordan went to, that Deion Cole, all these guys that come out of Chicago after the show. We go to that bar and sit around and drink. Those people will get to experience that.
Good times.
Awesome times.
All right, what's the other one?
The other one is more of a North Side thing. It's
don't be afraid, black people.
Exactly.
All right.
It's deep dish pizza, Malort, and laughter.
Oh, all
that's
right.
Cool.
Malort. Yeah, that's
down?
Authentically Chicago. So with the people that get to come on that one, I videotaped their Malort face, and I put it on a separate little YouTube thing.
Have you ever
that I got.
You got Malort? The Malort face.
Yeah, the Malort face, if they want it. I'm not going to force it on them. But as we know, Malort is such an interesting taste that you can't help but make a face to it. And so they'll get
the
experience.
Malort and pizza, that's a good combo?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're not going to drink
first.
A gallon of Malort. It's
right.
just going to be a
right.
shot of Malort prior to the comedy, prior to the deep dish pizza, because the deep dish pizza and comedy are in the same place. The Malort shot and the authentic.
Well, where are you taking them for comedy on the north side?
I'm taking them to Gino's, where a comedy bar is.
Oh, there's a comedy bar there. Okay.
Man, it's awesome.
Are these
you
people funny, dude? Come on. Come on. Are these people funny? They better be funny. Are they funny? No, you're a comedian. I'm a comedian. But I'm telling you, who you're preaching the choir, man. Come on. I'm just saying, they better be funny. If people are coming on this tour, they better be funny.
Well, I'm going to make sure they have a great time. I can't convince everybody that everything is funny. I'm going to be funny.
I'm telling you. You better go up on stage and save that night.
My name is Aaron Foster. Google me.
No, I know that.
I'm going to make sure they have a good time.
I'm saying you go up on stage and save it if the other comics aren't getting it done.
Oh, you know I'll do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So you're a Dobie Maxwell guy, right?
I know Dobie, sure.
That's my buddy. So
yeah, he's a good guy.
Ask him if I'm funny. I'm on the wall at Zany's. All
Dude,
of that.
Back it down. I know you're funny.
Okay.
Yeah, you walked in. I could tell you were funny.
All right. So with that, I also take them to an authentic Irish bar in Chicago for the Malort and a couple of shots. Drinks, not shots.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe
right.
That was a
actually no. In the neighborhood you're talking about,
Airbnb
you're still okay.
Does not sell alcohol. That's please right. Don't think right, we're just right, gonna right. get you super drunk.
Right.
No. But
right.
we are going to have a great time. They
but
come
we're
going to
see the real Chicago. We're going to experience the real Chicago, not just the cool things that are touristy, but
exactly.
the inner neighborhood.
Real
All right, so, but,
Irish bar.
But yeah. Ben, talk about this. Now, you're doing this in Chicago. Where else are you doing this?
So Trips launched last November in 12 cities. It's now expanded to
30
around the globe. Right. So the American cities include San Francisco. Detroit is one of them.
Right.
Los Angeles, Harlem, but throughout
New York?
The world. Just Harlem for now.
Okay. Well, that's New York.
Yeah. It's so big that we had to stick with one neighborhood
right.
for the time being. But, learn how to yield a samurai sword from an expert in Tokyo, right? One good one for you in Miami is learning how to breathe fire. I think you might enjoy that.
Wow.
I used to live down there. Yeah.
I think you should do that one.
Right. Breathe fire?
Yeah.
Have you heard me when I talk about Trump? Yeah.
All right, so there's now 1,800 experiences throughout the world, 28 here in Chicago alone. This just launched.
Okay, so obviously the reason I bring it up is for people traveling from Chicago somewhere else. I want them to know it exists in a lot of other places. So when you book on the website, are the experiences, is that a different tab? Is it easy to find?
It's right on the homepage or the app.
Okay.
So you can easily distinguish between, look, I'm looking for a home, or I'm looking for an experience, or
I'm looking for both.
Right. And it's not just for travelers as well. I'm a native Chicagoan, but as I was looking at these 28 experiences, including Aaron's, which I went on a few weeks ago, parts of Chicago that I didn't know about, that I'd never really experienced. There are so many misconceptions, particularly about the South Side and the West
Side.
Absolutely.
People just see the headlines and they just sort of assume that that's all there is. But, we've got an art experience in Pilsen. We've got, we got an environmental experience way far north in Rogers Park. It's everywhere.
Nothing but good times.
Yeah, only a couple of them actually touch the loop. So it also makes for a good experience potentially for we Chicagoans or the suburbanites who really want to see a different side. This is such a big city, and there's so much to
see.
That's
a good point, too. The suburbanites who come into the city once a year to look at Christmas lights come downtown a little more often.
Right. Exactly.
Come downtown in the summertime.
And it makes sure that they know that the TV, the news only shows Inglewood and murder. And on the whole South Side, there's so much more.
Absolutely.
You know, everywhere. Even
we
all
preach
the way out
that
to
every
Evergreen
day.
Park, you know.
That's where I was born.
Oh, you were born in Evergreen Park?
Oakland,
awesome,
Park,
awesome.
Yeah.
That's sure. fantastic. Mm-hmm. So you'll get a chance to see stuff in Evergreen Park,
Rainbow
in Beverly,
cones,
all the way down to Hyde Park. Everywhere, you know what I mean?
So Blues Tour, Swim Like a Mermaid, Art Walk and Food Tasting, Bikes and Brunch. It's Airbnb. Look, they figured it out. Let's get on board. Good to see you, man.
Thank you.
You got a website you want to throw out as well?
Yeah, Aaron, cstandup.com is my business website where you can hire me to do a fundraiser.
Okay.
Or aaronfoster.net so you can see what I do as a comedian.
And I love
Join
what you're
my
doing.
Email list.
And
please.
I love what you're doing with Airbnb. And Ben, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Great
Appreciate
to see
it.
You, man. Yeah, Airbnb, struggling little company, but we have hope for them. 9:55. Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.